You are listening to On the Shoulders of Dwarves, a weekly podcast about role-playing games and role-playing gamers.
On the Shoulders of Dwarves.
Hello and welcome to On the Shoulders of Dwarves, a weekly podcast about role-playing games and the people who play them. My name is Ran Aviram.
My name is Uri Lifshitz. Hello!
Every week we give practical advice for all players with light-hearted atmosphere and no GM screen. And today it's time to end it all, end everything. Not the podcast, but the campaign. The game eventually ends. And one should do it in a particular way, in a particular pattern. One should probably think about their ending before the game just stops. And we go home, and that's it.
If you don't plan the ending plans itself for you. And that's not always a good thing.
Now, this topic comes at us from various vectors. First of all, Uri is finishing his campaign in these days.
Woohoo!
Second of all, we've got an email about a person that only started playing, but is already thinking about finishing their campaign. And finally, this is a logical step up from a topic we discussed just several episodes ago about finishing a personal storyline, retiring your character. I think the first thing we should say about an ending is that it's a process, not an event. We say ending, we actually mean the whole thing, the whole shebang, which can begin several sessions even before the ending itself.
What do you mean even? Should begin a few sessions before.
I agree. But let's start with Roy's email, who begins the process with the moment he began the game. Greetings.
Smart. Smart, by the way.
Greetings, O dwarf and dwarves, who dwarf on the shoulders of dwarfish dwarfkin. Recently, after 20 to 30 years of role-playing drought, I started listening to your podcast just for fun. Thanks to you and the inspiration you gave me, I started playing last week in two different groups. One in which I'm one in which I'm a player, and another one which is a family game which I'm GMing. Those bright new starts got me thinking. When do you know it's time to end the campaign? And how do you do it in a way that leaves everyone satisfied and or ready to begin something new? May the sun shine on your rubies and diamonds, Roy Kahat. I really like the question because I think the second one is amazing. How do you do it in a way that leaves everyone satisfied is, of course, important. But how do you do it in a way that makes them ready to begin something new? That's so forward-thinking. And I think it's something that we're going to reiterate as well.
Also, there is an old Hebrew saying that says, he who saved one soul in the world as if has saved the whole world. And I feel it's relevant. I feel he who got one person
to role play
back to role playing is as if he got the whole world. Because that's literally what happens. You create a whole new world for people to play in. And that's amazing. So let's move on to actually answering some of Roy's questions. And I think the first one we should tackle is when should you finish a campaign? And personally, I think that one of the hardest things in life is knowing when to move on. And it's the same for all the major issues in life, relationship, jobs, or role-playing campaigns. Sometimes it's easy, like those time when the story has reached its natural conclusion, or when a player or several players can no longer attend the game and you're saying, okay, we're going to have to wrap it up. And those are the moments that I referred to earlier when I said, if you don't plan for an ending is planned for you. But other times, it's harder. And there's no magic formula for discovering that specific moment. It's very different for every campaign and every group. Some groups would say every few months, okay, we've had enough, let's move on to a new campaign. Some group will simply disintegrate. In some groups, people will stop showing up all of a sudden with different excuses. I find that the best litmus test is always to see if you are still excited and looking forward for next week's sessions, or not so much.
This doesn't necessarily mean that the game must end. Yes, maybe something can change. But if the whole group thinks that there's really nothing much to look forward to, then yeah, sure.
Yeah, when you start switching from the former to the latter, it's time to make a change. And many problems can be solved with smaller changes, but every once in a while, the necessary change is to stop whatever it is you're doing and move on to something that would be more fun for everyone. Keep your eyes open, keep your ears peeled for signs of people losing interest. And again, this is your responsibility as a player as well. If you are not enjoying your gaming session, say something to your GM, talk with other players, see if it's something that can be dealt with on a low scale, and if not, float around the idea without pointing fingers and without being overtly negative. Simply suggest a change. Now, from the GM perspective, I would urge every GM to take the time to plan ahead to end things correctly. I was watching an episode of the Justice League a few days ago, and apparently Batman had this backup plan for killing off every single member of the Justice League should they go rogue. Now, I'm not saying that I operate the same as Batman, but I do. I usually have a plan to kill off every single character should their player could no longer attend. When I say kill off, I mean in a meaningful way that is part of the narrative. And I usually have a backup plan to end the campaign in a narratively justifiable way. However, if you are not a paranoid, costume-wearing, crazy person who plans for the worst-case scenario like me and Batman, I would urge you to take a different approach. Because a campaign is an ongoing game, and its conclusion can be many different things. It is often a farewell to your character, to the setting you play in, and to the storyline you followed for hopefully a while. But often it is also a possible goodbye to friends. Many of my own personal campaigns were ended because one or more players could no longer play. Most examples are a friend who moved to another city or simply left the country. Iran. Also, Avshalom, Aviv, Ohad, Dan, and Itai, thank you. So I find that it's important to take the time to say farewell in a meaningful way. That means planning ahead, setting time aside to actually go through with a final gaming session to wrap everything up.
In Hebrew, there's a word lehitmasmes, which is basically dissolve, but with a specific connotation. A bad connotation. It's when something that you plan, something that already exists, something that you want to continue on with, stops existing, like a weekly session. There can be many reasons for it. Uri went through a lot of them. The problem with something dissolving this way is motivation. It makes for a very uninteresting, even demoralizing ending for something that we all did together. And so, if we want to start something new, it's really important to keep us in high spirits, if at all possible. So, actually getting to an end, actually creating an end, is very important. Even if you decide one session, there's only one more session to go, and suddenly your players can no longer attend. That will be the final session. You didn't plan for it. Everything comes too quickly. Still make that session into an ending session, or even just the end of that session into an ending. And make sure to take the time. Make sure to create. And the thing that should be created, the thing that you need to actually concentrate on, we think, is the process of ending. As we said, it's not an event. It's about more or less three things: foreshadowing, climax, and epilogue. If you have all three, you basically have an ending. And after that, hopefully, people will have a feeling of dramatic satisfaction that something actually came to an end and not just dissolved and stopped happening, which is not the same thing.
Now, Iran, what you're saying is very, very true. If you don't take the time to create a build-up, the ending won't feel meaningful. And if you don't leave time for an epilogue or a denouement, or any whatever way you pronounce it, since it's French and thus it can be pronounced any way whatsoever, and a disentanglement of the events of the climax. This is mainly to show that the climax and the event that took place in it had an effect on the world. But let's talk about the GM for a moment. I think that as a GM, it is your opportunity to go over your notes, dive into your memories, and do some of the following. Now, you may notice that I like lists. I do like lists. That's how you're not forgetting things. Now, number one is try and tie up as many loose ends as you can. Start closing things several sessions before the end session. And I mean both personal plot lines and overreaching arcs that spans, hopefully, adventures and many gaming sessions. Having said all that, please try to avoid Deus Ex Machina, which is Latin for God out of the machine, meaning don't drop sudden solution to things that have been building up for a while. That is very unsatisfying. When you do an improv long form is a long play, could be 40 minutes or an hour long. The basic rule said for the first 30 minutes, you open up, you create new characters, you create new places, you create new relationships, blah, blah, blah. Once you reach the 50% line, you start closing. You take the opportunity to take relationship and bring them together for the next level. You take character and you either give them a fulfilling ending or you raise the stake higher and higher so that the ending would be meaningful. A good ending is one you can see coming.
Yes. There's no time to introduce something new. There's no reason to introduce something new. Whatever new thing that you want to introduce, instead, change it so it is actually an established thing that is now revealed to be different, or in some logical way always has been different. If you want to introduce a literal god from the machine, an angel comes and helps in whatever, then one of the NPCs is an angel and always has been an angel. And the reason they always smelled roses around them, well, you had a different reason why they always smell roses around them, but now you decide it's because they were always an angel. Use retroactive justification to make sure that you don't go out of bounds, but instead remain in the same ballpark of story that you already established.
I think this is fundamentally the most important answer to Roy's question about how you get people satisfied with the ending and ready to move on.
Yes, true.
It means that everything they have done so far has built up to something, and that something has happened. So now there isn't a reason to continue playing that character or that story arc, because that thing which was destined to be has become.
I think the next part is also very, very important, the epilogue, but we'll get to it when we get to it.
Now, number two is to let memorable places and NPCs have a moment in the spotlight. Show how the actions of the PCs have affected them, the world around them. This is very important in my eyes, because the only true way to measure the effect of the game on the game world is through the responses and actions of the NPCs in the world. So taking the time to show that, lend credence and effect to the actions taken by the PCs. And beside that, it is an awesome opportunity. If there's a loved NPC, let the player see that they're a happy wedding. If there's an NPC that they absolutely abhor,
make sure to kill them.
Of them. Of course. Or simply have that scene where they're rotting in jail for finally paying up for their crimes of not being kind to the PCs, etc. And number three is something that I always recommend to anyone doing anything artful. And that is, make a conscious and strong decision. In this case, make a conscious and strong decision about the type of ending you want to have. Now, there's many, many types of ending. You can have an open ending, a closed ending. If you don't know what they are, read up on those. You can also make artistic choices, like bookends ending, or reversal in ending, or back to the start, or cliffhanger. All of these are well-known tropes of how to end works of art. There's a whole list on TV Tropes about ending tropes. You can go and simply read that list. There's a link in the show notes. But I will give you a brief intro on those I've mentioned. Bookend ending is something used a lot of in cinema. It basically means that the first scene and the last scene is very similar. And in this way, you can see the effect of the whole story on the characters. If you would think of Lord of the Rings, you start off with the group in the Shire and you end with the group in the Shire, but they're not the same people anymore. So everything that they went through is really up front and center. A reversal ending is when you begin in one location in the hierarchy or in your life and you end in the exact opposite. If you were the naive young knight at the beginning who valued honor and you end as this old grim person who knows that morality no longer exists and you just have to survive. Back to the start is a similar thing where you take the character and you put them back at the exact same place where they started. For example, if they started out as lone heroes against this terrible dragon, and then they became the huge dragon slayer, and now they're back in the same place fighting and about to fight an elder god, so they're back right where they started. A cliffhanger is, of course, that dramatic moment where you don't know what's going to happen, and you cut and wait till the next episode. Now, the reason there are so many ending tropes is because they work. A lot of time we try to reinvent the wheel, so to speak, when we plan a campaign. I would urge you to use a lot of the existing tropes. There's a reason why people have been studying literature for hundreds and thousands of years. You don't need to reinvent everything. Simply stand on the shoulders of dwarves and you'll be taller. That's what we learn anyway.
Agreed. Finally, as a player, it's also important to know how to end and to go with, well, not necessarily a bang, but at least with a memorable moment for yourself. Because this is the time to go full out on your story arc, on your resources. Use all the spells, use all the magic items, use the powerful ability that you've been saving all this time. There won't be a tomorrow. So do everything now. Go ahead and kiss the prince, because this is the romantic moment that you've been dreading and you didn't want to explore this during the game, but you always sort of wanted this to happen. Do it now. Maybe whatever it is that you now committed to will actually come into play in a future campaign, because it could be that your next campaign will in some way continue the current one. That sort of thing happens. Well, good. Awesome. Great. This allows you to create a new development, something that you wouldn't have allowed yourself if you have created a new character out of nothing. So go ahead. Go, I don't want to say wild, but explore. Allow yourself to do the things that you never allowed yourself before. The next step after this climax, after everything that happens, is the epilogue, which is no longer part of the game, I think. I mean, after we've ended with the climax, the game has ended. There won't be any more walls. Your resources don't matter. We don't need the character sheets anymore. The epilogue is that time where we sit down and tell stories of what happened after. What is the next thing that happened in the game world? This is when each player tells of their character. They say what happened in the next few years, how they died, what they chose to do with their life from now on, how everything affected them, who they became. This is when the GM expands on the world and tells of the nations and what happened, the dimensional invasion and what happened, the fleet of ships and what happened. This is when the GM explains all of the major plot lines, how they develop from now on. but also how all of the minor plot lines developed from now on, like those two NPCs that got married several sessions ago and were not actually relevant to the ending, but we all love them and we want to know what happens with them. It's a small thing. It's a small story. It's not about conquering planets. It's just these two people and their life. But it's really important because it helps establish the world, actually re-establish at this stage, as an actual place, as a place where a lot of things happen. A lot of people live in it. It's an actual world. And so things that we decided that happened there actually matter. And that makes everything very satisfying. The main point of an epilogue is to show that your choices matter. That's what we decided to do during the ending, and of course everything before the ending that led to it, matter. That it is important because it affected what will happen in the future. Now, of course, nothing will happen in the future. This is all a story. Nothing actually happens. The only thing that actually happens is that you guys are sitting around the table or chatting online or whatever. That is the only true thing. But the suspension of disbelief, this willingness to accept that there is a world and things will happen with this character and this is all real enough, it's so important for us as people to believe this thing that really we should go all the way with this and explore everything we can in the epilogue to make sure that we feel satisfied. And the players should really ask each other and the GM about anything that they still want to know about. The GM does not necessarily need to actually answer all of the secrets, yes? A lot of the time, keeping secrets, even after the epilogue, can be pretty awesome. It can keep a tension that will never get resolved, but as long as it's not the biggest secret of the world, which of course we had to resolve during the ending, as long as it's something else, it again helps establish the world as an actual place because not everyone knows everything about everything in the world. That's just how things are.
Though I would urge people to do share the real secrets and everything because otherwise people will never know.
Yes,
and
yes.
I find that sad.
I think the default should be for players and GM to explain everything at this stage. If there is something that should be kept secret, you should really think about, should I? Will this enhance our experience if I keep this from the players or from the others? And that's it. And after the epilogue ends, everything ends. And there is no longer a campaign to talk about. But there's still a group.
There is. And what's next?
The main thing is to think about the next. I mean, unless you've decided you no longer want to roleplay ever in your life, you probably will want to roleplay again in your life, and for that you need the group. Not necessarily this group, but perhaps this group. I mean, if you played throughout the entire campaign with them, you probably enjoyed your game, we assume. So it's important to keep the group going, the structure of the group, especially if you're not friends that meet in other situations. I have several friends that are my role-playing friends, and I don't really get to see them in other situations, and that's fine, that happens. Having a good role-player friend is an important thing for a role-player. To keep the structure going, I would recommend doing some one-shots, maybe from around the group. I mean, not necessarily the same GM has to run all of the one-shots. It's actually an opportunity for other players to finally run something that maybe that they've always wanted to run. You can also do game nights where you play board games. The important thing is to keep doing nights, keep doing sessions, keep talking about and scheduling events until comes such a time that one of you, maybe the same GM, maybe someone else, wants to run a new campaign.
That is very important. If you want to continue playing together, don't stop the nightly meeting before you're on board with whatever it is that happens next. One of the greatest power in the universe is momentum.
Yes.
It can work for you or against you.
When finally a new GM arises, and a new campaign is about to begin, well, there's a lot that can be said about that. In fact, I think enough for several episodes. But let's summarize something that is probably very important, and that is reigniting the excitement. We recommend a technique that we've been using, both Uri and I, for a long time, and was codified in a very excellent way in Odyssey, the Complete Game Master's Guide to Campaign Management, an excellent book that we highly recommend for this exact reason, for what it says on the tin. It is the complete Game Master's Guide to Campaign Management. There'll be a link in the show notes to buy the PDF on DriveThruRPG. And this specific technique is, it's actually pretty simple. The GM decides on three or four concepts for something that interests them and they believe will interest the players. And they think a bit about what sort of system and what sort of setting they would want to combine together to run this game. And then they present this to the players in a sort of a session minus one. It's even before session zero. It's before we have a campaign. It's a brainstorming session because we don't commit to anything. These are just general ideas. I would like to run 50 Fathoms, which is a campaign game in Savage Worlds. But also, I'm pretty keen on running Dragon Heist, which is a much shorter game. It's probably a quarter of the time that 50 Fathoms will take us. And it's in D&D. And it's only level 1 to 5, so we'll never become very powerful. And it's all in one city. And also, I'm really interested in XYZ. And I present all of these options, maybe expand a bit more about what they are and what's the cool thing about them, but also never neglect to mention how long it's going to take us, how complicated the rule set is if nobody else knows it, etc., etc. All of the details that really should be part of the consideration. And then we sit and talk about them until we decide on one or two that we think are awesome, and we continue with them. Maybe to the stage of actually sitting down and having a session zero and creating a character, etc. Maybe we need a one shot before we commit to any of them, which is great, which I highly recommend. That's actually what I'm doing for the next game that I'm going to run. It will start with a one shot to make sure that we all indeed want this before we continue and commit to a full campaign. This is it. Uri, how should we summarize this episode?
Well, I have to say that whenever I think of ending a campaign, I always think of the same two poems. I know it's old-fashioned, but I always take these two poems, one as a warning and the second as an inspiration, shall we say. The first one is the ending line from The Hollow Man by T.S. Eliot. If you're not familiar, you're probably familiar with the actual line. It's, this is the way the world ends. Not with a bang, but with a whimper. And it's kind of a warning for me that if you don't finish your campaign with a bang, it does end with a whimper.
Don't let it dissolve. Don't let it just stop.
Yeah. Make a strong choice and end it with a bang.
Yes.
And the second one is a poem by Yeats called The Second Coming. Now, this is a terrible poem. It talks about the end of the world, and it's absolutely terrible. And one of my favorite lines in this terrible, terrible poem is, "And what rough beast, its hour has come round at last, slouches toward Bethlehem to be born." And I find that line amazing, because this is the end of the world. And at the end of the world, at that moment of apocalypse, there is something, something that makes its way slowly to be born and just to begin. This is the devil, the Antichrist. This is the big baddie. This is the Tarrasque. This is the big red dragon who about to devour the world. This is Fenrir jumping to the moon. And whatever that is, for me, this is the something that the heroes of the next campaign may have to battle.
Excellent.
This is something that always gives that sense of more to come. And if I have to, you know, summarize everything we've said in this episode in a single line, it would be that the end is and always should be just the beginning.
I completely agree. I mean, even if you give a taste for more for something that will not happen, you in essence give your players a taste for more fun to be had with you. You essentially say, yes, this is maybe the end of this story, but think of all the fun we can have together coming whatever comes next. This was this episode, but it's not the end of the episode. That will come in a moment. First, we would like to recommend that you send us emails and then we can discuss them at show@dwarfcast.net. You can also search for us over Twitter and Facebook, where we have a group on Facebook where you can chat, discuss, and actually, if you don't want to send us an email, you can post it as a post on the Facebook group of posts. And finally, you can also rate us.
If you have listened to this episode on an Apple device of some sort, it would help us greatly if you would rate this show and give it a 5-star, maybe even more if that is possible. And if you're listening on any other device, we would appreciate if you would simply share this episode with as many people as you can.
Yes, with a personal recommendation. Because if you really think that this is good and other people should listen to it, it will be best if you actually say that, not just share, but share with, this is good. I like this. Maybe you like this as well. But now it's time to take the load off.
This world is carried on the shoulders of dwarves.
This is the part of the show in which we talk about Uri finishing his own campaign. Tell us about it, Uri. Okay, sure.
Okay, my campaign, Unrelated Incident, has been running for almost 5 years now. It's true that we had 2 breaks, I think each a few months, but still, almost 5 years, that's a lot. We actually, if you're listening to this episode the minute it was published, then I am currently running the last and final session. Now, we've actually finished the campaign. The last adventure was done last week, and now we're doing a wrap-up session in which we will do all the things that Eran and I have talked about in this episode. Now, I've wanted to do something special. I had several ideas, one of which was to actually play a round of The Quiet Year, because this whole campaign was built in a specific city that I created with the players, and this was a very location-based campaign, as is often the case with Fate or Fate Accelerated as we play. And I'm still debating that, but what I think I would do is to do a round of epilogue in which every player would describe the worst and the best moment of his character lives following the end of the campaign, and inspired directly by the end of the campaign. I think it's a nice wrap up of, you know, seeing the lows and the highs, and give you something to look forward to, even if you're not getting there.
I can only imagine the ending of my current campaign, because unfortunately, we are about 3 sessions from ending it, but we don't know yet when we can schedule them. So yes, we're in a spot where whenever it is that we're getting back into the game, we know we'll have to do these 3 sessions in succession. I mean, there's no way that we're going to just make a single session and then take another month off. These 3 sessions are important and must be one after the other, so we'll keep the tension going. I don't know yet how to close all of the storylines, but this is Savage Worlds, and it's an excellent campaign with a lot of ideas. I'm sure something will come up.
We would love to hear about the endings of your campaigns, so feel free to send us a really long email with a lot of text about everything that happened. I live for this stuff.
Finally, I just want to say something about my week. I am very much into reading this past week. I've read Your Best Game Ever by Montico Games, and it's pretty good. I was unsure about its expected quality, first of all, because I'm still unsure what I'm thinking about Monty Cook's work in general. Some of it is brilliant, some of it is
not to your liking.
Well, sure. But the best game ever, which I should note, I have a copy because Aviv Orr drew a comic for it, so she got a few copies herself from the Kickstarter, and I got one from her, and I browsed through it, and it's pretty good. I don't know if it's Odyssey good, but it covers so many things that I hoped it would cover. When you have a title like the best game ever, it talks about being a good player, being a good GM, running a good campaign. It gets into a lot of details. I haven't read it, I've just browsed through it, but I am hopeful. And the second thing that I've read through is Pathfinder 2nd Edition Core Rulebook, which came out this week. Gen Con is currently in full rage. I don't know how to describe Gen Con. It's rage would work. And it's really good. I'm looking forward to run Pathfinder 2nd Edition. I really liked 1st Edition, but after D&D 5 came out and after I got to know Savage Worlds better and after a lot of other things came out, I said to myself, I don't think myself ever running a Pathfinder game again, because whatever sort of game I'm looking forward to, that I want to run, I will find a system that's better than Pathfinder. And I think that I found one, and it's Pathfinder 2. Pathfinder 2 seems to do everything I wanted out of Pathfinder. You know, being crunchy and interesting, but not being as complex and full of tiny details and options as Pathfinder 1st is. It's what a lot of people are saying, and I completely agree. It's D&D 5 with a somewhat added complexity. It's like about 1.5 times the complexity of D&D 5, maybe 2. And that's great for people that thought the D&D 5 might be a bit generalistic in the way that it approaches crunch. So let's do something about that, Uri. Let's play some Pathfinder 2 if we can.
Indeed.
But not today, because now we will end the episode with a goodbye.
Leitrads!
On the Shoulders of Dwarves is shared under Creative Commons by attribution non-commercial 4. Intro and outro are by The Cliché Duo, and you can email us at show@dwarfcast.net.
On the Shoulders of Dwarves.